I was just checking Paul W. Smitsta, my Instagram account, Paul W. Smitsta. And I did put up there the award we got for the show, for the team. In the top 20 midday radio shows in the entire country. In fact, we were sixth, I think. Was it sixth? It was sixth, Mike, right?
No, it was fifth.
Fifth, all right, fifth. Out of the thousands of radio stations in the top markets in the country, this one that you've decided to listen to, fifth in the country. We're very proud of that. And the team, Mike Parsons, Daniel Mason, Rich Luzinski. In fact, many of the folks on the air here were in the top 21 of the stations around the country, and even our program director, Ann Thomas. So we all are pretty psyched about all of that, indeed. Well, I just said that maybe Crane's Detroit Business will do a story on it or something, because I just realized Kirk Pinhoe is standing by. He is the senior commercial real estate reporter. How can we make this about real estate? Kirk, nice to have you here. How are you?
I'm great. How are you today, Paul?
I'm excellent, thank you. Say hi to everybody. Say hi to Casey Crane and everybody over there at Crane's for me, if you would. I see that there are all kinds of people concerned about ICE and the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement having property, buildings, leasing, whatever. Can you bring us up to date on all of this?
Yeah, so it's a kind of a complex ecosystem that we got going on here. But I want to go back a couple weeks. Bloomberg reported that the Trump administration, DHS, and ICE were in the process of essentially attempting to build a slew, maybe a couple dozen new detention facilities for detainees, ranging from, you know, capacity for 500 people all the way up to facilities that are essentially the size in terms of population of, you know, Walled Lake, Michigan, for example, up to, you know, 8,000-10,000 people. And one of the cities that was identified at Bloomberg was Round Rock, Michigan, where DTW is. That sent local and other officials into kind of a scramble to figure out where exactly in Romulus or the surrounding area that ICE planned on building this detention facility. Fast forward a couple weeks to Friday, and we started getting word that local officials had identified a fairly large building, about 250,000 square feet, a little larger, had been purchased by what we learned was ICE on Monday build a detention facility. ICE has not officially confirmed the address. They just confirmed that they purchased a building in Romulus, but local officials have said it's on Cogswell Street between, I believe it's Wick and Ecorse Roads. It used to be a kind of like a warehouse for, you know, marketing services company of some sort, and it's been vacant for a little while. And ICE confirmed that it's planning this facility somewhere in Romulus and is touting its, you know, sort of economic impacts and everything like that. We don't have a construction timeline. It's a little fuzzy on what, if anything, local officials can do to prevent this, but that catches us up to speed in Romulus. And there's also some concern about a lease in Southfield, but that's more on the office side rather than a detention or law enforcement side. So,
Kirk, I'm sure you put pen to paper, and you have some of the figures maybe, that they are claiming the positive aspects of them building or taking over buildings or doing anything coming in. I mean, there's got to be some tax revenue. There's got to be some jobs and things like that. Or is the overshadowing fear of ICE that really was only created because of the Minneapolis mayor and Minneapolis or Minnesota governor not letting the police do what they were supposed to do, and it all got out of hand, that people fear ICE now, but ICE has a job to do, and ICE has been around forever, and they've done their job forever. Now, this got a little scary. They started looking like stormtroopers and everything, but is anyone saying, well, this is great because this is bringing tax money and jobs and everything else, or are they just all freaked out?
Well, ICE is. ICE is saying that. pardon me. The statement that we got from ICE yesterday said something to the effect of the building would contribute about $150 million to GDP, which is a metric that we don't often hear when it comes to commercial real estate development. We usually hear figures about, you know, total investment in terms of building purchase costs and the cost to build a building out or construct a new building. So ICE is saying it's $150 million, just shy of that, for in terms of contribution to GDP. Says it would have something like 1,400 construction and other jobs, presumably the majority of those being construction, as well as $33 million or so in tax revenue. The questions that arise from that are many, including, you know, how many people will staff this facility full time versus how many of those are just sort of temporary construction jobs. Being a government-owned facility would not pay property taxes, and the city of Rotten Oak does not have a city income tax. So it's not quite clear the specific tax revenue generation figures that they're referring to, although one can presume things like, you know, sales taxes on building materials and, you know, state income taxes on construction workers, for example. But those are the figures that have been thrown out there by ICE. Local officials that I've spoken with pretty roundly are concerned about this facility for a variety of reasons, ranging from zoning requirements to certainly some of the controversy that surrounded ICE the last year or longer. But local officials seem to be generally opposed to it. ICE is touting it, and we'll see where it goes from here. But I suspect that this is a site that's not anywhere close to being done.
So local zoning and state building code requirements obviously have to be figured out, found to be followed or whatever. But Kirk Pinhoe, as a senior commercial real estate reporter for Crain's Detroit Business, are you saying that if this were anyone other than ICE, people would be embracing this project?
I don't think I'm saying that. What I'm saying is just that there's a bunch of concern. I assume that there was there had been a private sector employer coming in. That private sector employer was essentially put aside, for lack of a better phrase, to identify the building, and then apparently ICE or DHS outdid it. So the building that had been slated to go on the tax rolls and contribute, or go back on the tax rolls and contribute to property tax revenue and other sources of income for the city is now going to be taxing them now that the federal government owns it.
Well, we'll be reading all about it in Crain's Detroit Business. We'll look for what you have to say following the story. Kirk Pinhoe, senior commercial real estate reporter for Crain's Detroit Business. Thanks, Kirk. Thanks for being with us.
Yep, thanks for your time today.
129 at 760 WJR.